Chapter 32. General Emat emerged from a narrow door leading out of the mine into the old rebel trench, blinking at the brilliant light reflected off the white plains. Behind him came Sergeant Sharp, fussing with his blast helmet. The trench walls were a deep red, dusted with white. Metal planking lined the bottom of the trench, encrusted with accumulated drifts. A pair of artillery cannons loomed over the trenches. Poe had assured Emat that they'd fire. Emat decided he'd believe that when he saw it. They looked like the recoil from the first shot would turn them into a pile of rust flakes. Inside, they were passing out blaster rifles to anyone who seemed like they were more of a danger to the enemy than to the person next to them. Passing out rifles and small arms, and checking a store of old rebel ammunition cartridges to see which had any charge left. They'd be the last line of defense after the speeders and the artillery. Emat hoped it wouldn't come to it, while knowing it probably would. Well, if so, they'd make the First Order pay a price for every millimeter of ground. Emat clambered out of the trench and onto the plains, the massive shield door looming behind him. As he scanned the horizon with his quadnox, Sharp leaned down to pinch a few snowy white flakes. He tasted them and spat. Sharp looked back and saw that their footprints had lifted away the powdery salt which now caked the bottoms of their boots. Where they'd stepped, crimson crystal soil had been revealed. Emat lowered the quadnox and spoke into the comlink on his wrist.
"Ground forces incoming," he warned.
"Copy that,"
Poe replied.
"On our way."
Slots opened high in the shield door, and the ski speeders hurtled out, their outriggers flexing in the wind. The descent was half glide, half powered flight, and Rose fought to keep her craft stable. Her stomach lurched as she tried to take in her surroundings, from the salt pan rushing up at her to the distant dots of the First Order ground forces. Then she looked over and saw Finn grinning, apparently hypnotized by the experience of finding himself in the air and not thinking about what it would be like to hit the ground.
"Hey, dummy,"
she yelled into her headset.
"Engage your monoski."
Finn looked around, startled, and hunted for the switch. Just when Rose was certain he'd crash, he found the control that deployed the monoski. It emerged from the bottom of his speeder's engine mount, a moment before their ski speeders hit the salty crust. The impact of her own speeder's touchdown forced the air out of Rose's lungs, and for a moment she was sure the craft would shed its cannons, her cockpit, or both. But then, the speeder had bounced back up onto its ski, and she was racing across the white expanse next to Finn, part of a line of speeders advancing across the plains. Their skis sliced through the layer of sodium atop the ground, kicking up a wake of crystalline dirt beneath the crust and giving each speeder a brilliant red tail that extended behind it like a flag. Poe had to pull his foot back after a panel gave way beneath it, sending a chunk of hull plating spinning off across the plain.
"What the hell? I don't like these rust buckets, and I don't like our odds. Keep it tight, and don't get pulled too close until they roll that cannon out front."
Rose could see the First Order walkers in the distance ahead of them, but not the siege cannon. She reached into her jumpsuit and pulled out her Automach medallion, hanging it from a lever on her speeder's console.
"Ground forces, lay down some fire,"
Poe requested. The resistance forces in the trenches heard his order, and the artillery cannons opened up, blaster bolts streaking across the salt plains toward the First Order lines. A few bolts struck the walkers, but did no damage that Poe could see. As the wind whipped past his cockpit, Poe considered their situation and didn't like his conclusions. The bulk of the First Order ground forces were heavy combat walkers. Each Leviathan had a massive turbo laser cannon built into the top of its back and reinforced forelimbs designed to brace against the recoil. Their armor was far too heavy for the resistant ski speeder blasters to penetrate. A above the walkers, TIE fighters circled like predatory birds. And above them, Poe's sensors painted a lone command shuttle, undoubtedly the ship from which the assault would be directed. The speeder's guns were powerful enough to destroy a TIE or the shuttle, but Poe knew the resistance craft would be shredded if they tried to gain altitude and engage them. The siege cannon would be more vulnerable, or at least Poe devoutly hoped so. But the First Order was wisely keeping it behind the lines, safeguarded by the walkers. Any attack against it would have to brave both the walkers and the TIEs, which was tantamount to suicide. It might come to that, Poe knew. But he wasn't going to throw away his pilots' lives unless he could see no other choice. So for now, he'd probe the First Order's line, but try to keep his squadron intact and hope the enemy made a mistake or something changed the odds. Poe was right about the command shuttle. It housed Kylo, Hux, and several other high-ranking First Order officers, all staring down at the battlefield and monitoring sensor feeds. Kylo would have preferred to supervise the assault alone. Hux, he knew, would see the relatively straightforward operation as an opportunity for self-aggrandizement. But it was critical to keep the ambitious general close at hand. Hux had eliminated a number of rivals during his rise to power, including his own father, and Kylo had no intention of joining their ranks. With Hux beside him, there was no chance of an accident befalling the command shuttle, and every opportunity to remind the general and the other officers who was in charge.
13 incoming light craft, Hux said. Shall we hold until we clear them?
No, Kylo replied. Push through. The resistance is in that mine. This is the end.
The First Order made its move, with the ski speeders still some distance from their lines, ordering the TIE fighters to abandon their holding position over the walkers and engage. Blaster bolts churned through the sodium crust, sending up plumes of red that reminded Poe unsettlingly of blood. And one of the ski speeders blossomed into flame.
Fighters!
Poe yelled.
Break off!
The speeders scattered, with TIEs swooping down in pursuit. A dozen chases weaved across the plain, leaving it scarred with crimson pockmarks and slashes carved by the ski speeder's halo foils. Poe brought his speeder around in a tight turn, the frame of his outrigger emitting a groan of distressed metal, and took aim at the TIE fighter that was looking for an opportunity to strafe one of the speeders. Finding himself too low to line up the shot, Poe yanked back on the control yoke, letting the ski speeder bounce up above the plane.
Still too low. Come on, baby, give me a little air.
The ski speeder bounced a little higher, and Poe mashed down the trigger, his laser cannon spitting fire. The TIE sheared in two, its solar panels spitting off in different directions. Poe's crow of triumph was cut short, as he had to dodge another TIE swooping down from above, where his guns couldn't reach.
We can't match this firepower,
Kyth Renali warned in his native tongue.
We've got to hold them till they pull out the cannon,
Poe replied. A pilot screamed as his speeder was ripped apart by cannon fire, the TIE that had destroyed it banking high above the plains. The resistance artillery tracked it and blasted it to pieces, but the TIEs responded to that threat by wheeling around and raking the vulnerable troops in the trenches. Finn flinched as the speeder next to his was hit. He peered forward through the windscreen, blinking at the glare, and tried to find the First Order cannon amid the towering shapes of the combat walkers. Blasts carved through the ground nearby, and he juked his speeder back and forth, hoping to spoil the fighter's aim. They were losing speeders. Why wasn't Poe ordering them to go after that cannon? Another speeder vanished in flames, its pilot's cry dissolving into static. We're losing. Then his eyes widened.
Rose! Behind you!
Three TIE fighters chased Rose's ski speeder across the plains, laser cannons firing deadly bursts. Before Finn could turn to help her, the first TIE was incinerated,
Then the second one vanished in a ball of fire. Then the third was gone. Rose dodged debris raining down from the skis, then looked up to locate her savior. Her eyes widened at the sight of a battered freighter hurtling overhead. The ship looked like it wasn't in much better shape than the ski speeders, but somehow it maneuvered like an X-wing. She didn't recognize the ship, but apparently Finn did, because he let out a crow of triumph. Aboard the Millennium Falcon, Chewbacca saw the TIEs explode and let loose with a Wookiee battle cry, one echoed by the Porg sitting on the console next to him. Meanwhile, in the lower turret, Rey wheeled and fired at more of the TIEs. Another one exploded, and she bared her teeth in a predator's grin. The First Order pilots had been so busy terrorizing their ground-bound prey that they'd forgotten the sky might hold other hunters.
Oh, I like this,
she said, blasting yet another TIE. Aboard her stolen escape shuttle, Rey had waited in increasing frustration as the First Order Star Destroyers formed a cordon above the planet, and dropships began descending, bearing walkers and a mysterious cylinder she didn't recognize. She'd hoped that Finn and General Organa were down there and hadn't been caught aboard one of the many transports she'd seen destroyed. It was terrible to think that they might already be dead, or might die while she waited helplessly for the Falcon to return. By the time the freighter had emerged from hyperspace, she'd been frantic and annoyed Chewbacca enough that he silenced her with an aggressive howl as she hurried through the airlock. The Wookiee sent the Falcon spinning away from a pair of TIEs, leaving Rey perfectly positioned to bracket one fighter in her gun sights. She took a moment to admire Chewbacca's grace as a pilot, letting herself sink into the Force and allowing it to guide her actions. As two more TIEs flowered into flame, she spotted more TIEs inbound, having left their position above the First Order walkers. The fighters formed a loose line behind the Falcon, jockeying for a shot at its stern.
Chewie!
Rey yelled into her headset.
Peel off from the battle! Draw them away from the speeders!
Chewbacca accelerated away from the battlefield. The TIEs strung out behind him like the tail of a child's kite. Below, Rey watched the creatures with crystalline fur running along the sodium plains, their eyes intent on the strange avians above them. Ahead, a crevasse split the salt pan like a great red wound. The freighter dipped down into it, and Rey stared at the walls of the canyon in amazement. They were studded with outcroppings of crystal that flashed in the sun. Behind them, two TIEs collided, the pilots misreading each other's intentions as they sought a safe heading through the rapidly narrowing crevasse. The explosion sent chunks of crystal spinning away from the walls. One block punctured the main viewport of a fighter, sending it spinning into the walls, and Rey peppered the other TIEs with murderous fire. From the cockpit of his ski speeder, Poe watched in amazement as all the TIEs chased the Falcon, vanishing into the skies to the north.
She drew them all off! All of them!
He said wonderingly.
Oh, they hate that ship!
Exulted Finn.
There it is!
Rose yelled over the comm. Poe saw what had caught her eye. Two tug walkers were dragging the siege cannon out in front of the main force. The tugs reminded Poe of massive beetles, stumping along on multiple hexagonal limbs. Thick cables connected the tugs to the cannon, hauling it along with minimal help from its repulsor lifts. Shorn of their fighter cordon, the First Order commanders had apparently decided to press the attack. The walkers sent blast after blast in the direction of the resistance redoubt, scattering soldiers in the trenches.
Our only shot is right down the throat,
Finn said, as the six remaining ski speeders raced for the cannon. Inside the command shuttle, Kylo was fuming. The sight of his father's battered ship had filled him with fury, and he'd screamed for the gunners to blow it out of the sky. Hux had promptly dispatched all fighters to do so,
stripping the walkers of air cover and leaving their gunners struggling to target the nimble speeders, which were racing for the siege cannon. Kylo didn't think the speeders could damage the massive cannon, which was almost ready to start the firing sequence. But he'd also thought Starkiller Base was impregnable, and his mother's vermin had turned the superweapon into a debris ring in the unknown regions.
All firepower on those speeders, he ordered.
Concentrate all fire on the speeders, yelled Hux.
Kylo looked at him with distaste.
Hold tight,
Poe yelled as the walkers turned their attention away from the distant trenches and opened fire on the speeders, sending gouts of red shooting up from new craters blasted into the salt. It felt like his speeder was going to come apart, even if none of the laser blasts found its target.
That is a big gun,
Rose said in astonishment. He could only agree. The siege cannon reminded him of a massive gun barrel, 200 meters in length, with a glowing orange core. Poe banked his speeder and raked the cable connecting the cannon with one of the tugwalkers, hoping to see it part under fire. Guns atop the tugwalker opened up, forcing him to swerve away. Undeterred, Poe came around for another pass, heavy fire all around him, and stared at the cable in dismay. He'd merely scorched the surface. The core of the siege cannon began to glow brightly, and Poe saw smoke rising from it. As he watched in disbelief, the sodium began to melt in front of the cannon, the crust running like liquid. Even at this distance, he could feel the heat of it. Another speeder exploded, hit by fire from one of the walkers. Poe saw Nine Numb slide his own speeder over to fill the hole in the formation, and admired the cool efficiency of the old Rebel veteran's maneuver. But it wasn't enough to change the outcome, Poe realized. Nothing could do that now. They'd failed. The cannon was just a couple hundred meters away. But Poe refused to let himself be tempted. His speeder would be cooked before he got close enough for it to matter.
Pull off!
He ordered.
What?
He could hear the disbelief in Finn's voice.
The gun's charged. It's a suicide run. All craft, pull away!
No, I'm almost there!
Retreat! That's in order!
The other three ski speeders pulled away, following his lead. But Finn's continued to race toward the cannon.
Finn, it's too late!
Rose yelled.
Don't do this!
I won't let them win!
Finn said, his voice wild.
No!
Rose yelled.
Finn, listen to...
She saw him paw the headset off and fling it aside. He was just 50 meters from the cannon, seeking to fly straight down the barrel. But his speeder was already scorched and blistered. And ahead of him, the air itself was burning, ignited by the terrifying heat of the cannon's tracer beam.
No, Rose thought, teeth gritted. They'd come too far together for her to watch while he threw his life away.
She banked her speeder hard, following Finn's heading. Her medallion swung wildly on the console. She grabbed it, jamming it around her neck a moment before her speeder smashed into Finn's, just short of the massive cannon's muzzle. The impact sent Finn's speeder tumbling out of the cannon's path, while Rose's slewed wildly, its outrigger coming apart. Then the ground rushed up at her, a crimson and white whirl.
Sound. Rose couldn't tell where it was coming from in the darkness around her, but she knew it was important somehow. Important and connected with her. She tried to focus on it, but her head hurt too badly. Everything hurt, in fact. She just wanted to sleep, in the hope that the pain and the noise would recede. Would let her be. She heard the sound again and realized it was her name. It was Finn's voice calling her name. urgently, his voice full of fear. Rose forced her eyes open. She was slumped in the twisted cockpit of her ski speeder, or what was left of it. The plane around her was a chaotic jumble of salt chunks and red dirt. Finn was running toward her, and behind him, a maelstrom of smoke was rising into the air. She tried to call to him, to tell him where she was, and that she was okay. But she had trouble making her voice work, and she was pretty sure that she was not, in fact, anything close to okay. She opened her eyes and saw his face next to hers, eyes wild.
"Why did you stop me?" he asked.
Rose willed her voice to work. This next part was important. She had to make him understand.
"Saved you, dummy," she said. "That's how we're going to win. Not fighting what we hate, saving what we love."
The First Order cannon fired. A brilliant, scientific sun. A massive bolt of energy crossed the plane between it and the shield door, igniting the air with a roar and sending a hot wind whipping across the salt flats. As the shield door was torn apart, Rose inclined her head and kissed Finn, just in case he hadn't heard her or had missed her meaning. The big goof had a good heart, but he also had a way of missing the obvious.